It's great to be with you guys. I'm honored to be back, and anytime I get invited to come to Preston Road, I try to figure out how to do it because this is home. It's great to be back with my people, and we're grateful anytime that allows this to happen. I wanted to bring greetings from the rest of our family. We just got back from Africa on Monday of this week, and so we just couldn't all turn around and come this way, but I want you to know that if everybody in our family could come, they would have been here in a heartbeat because it's just so fun to see these faces. And Jessica, what a beautiful reading of God's Word this morning. Thank you very much. It's great to be back with the worship team that I love so much and just to be a part of what's happening this morning. I also want to mention that somebody who means a great deal to me, I think, is visiting today as well. It's the Reed family, and Joel and Lori are in the back. And so this is a special day for me to see them back at Preston Road as well. Let's pray and we'll jump into God's Word today. We're going to talk about disciple making, the core mission of the church. Lord, we thank you for this morning and we thank you for just the opportunity to be together and to worship and to be gathered around a table and to remind ourselves of our first foremost priority, that which shapes our lives, shapes the mission of our life, gives us purpose. Lord, we pray that you would bless us now as we turn toward your word, and we ask that it might be fruitful in our lives because the world desperately needs us to be Christians who are also disciples. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So today I do want to talk to you about disciple making, the core mission of the church, and I did co-write a book on this. I sent a copy to Jim Barnett and some of the others here, but what I wanted us to realize is that disciple making is helping people follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join in the mission of Jesus. That's what it means to be somebody who makes disciples. People follow Jesus, are changed by Jesus, and they join in the mission of Jesus. And if you remember Jesus' last words, they're of first importance. When we think about the Great Commission, we often think about global missions. We think about evangelism. But the word that Jesus uses in his final words to us is to go into all the world and what? Make disciples. And he tells us how to do that. And the thing that we have to realize is that the word disciple is found over 300 times in the New Testament. It's the word that is used to talk about people like us. The word Christian is used 3 times in the New Testament. It was what those who were outsiders would use to talk about those of us who were disciples. And so what I want us to understand this morning is that disciple making is the mission of the church. And some of us are old and we remember back to some times in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, where phrases were being used like crossroads, Boston movement. Then it became International Churches of Christ. But during the 80s and the 90s, it was a time of great growth for the Churches of Christ, and it was also a time when there was a keen focus upon disciple making. That's what we talked about. Those are the books that we read. Those were the seminars that we went to. That's what people would come in and talk to us about is how can we be disciple makers? We were reading all the literature. We were committed to that. And then what we noticed is some things began to happen that became sectarian, that were abuses of disciple making. People were being controlled by somebody else who was discipling. They'd tell them who to date, where they could go, what they could do with their spare time, and it became controlling. And they were kicked off of college campuses all around the country because of the sectarian nature of the movement. And what I think happened at that time is that we began to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That we let disciple making step to the back, and other things came in, church growth movements, attractional ministry programs, all good things, but disciple making is the core mission of the church. And so this morning, I want to just remind us of what makes a disciple a disciple. How did Jesus go about making disciples? And what can we learn maybe that can refresh and remind us of some things that we already know about disciples and disciple making? The first thing to remember is that in everything, Jesus is the model. Peter says, "To this you were called, to follow in his steps." And so what we begin to realize is that what we're trying to do in making a disciple and in being a disciple is to ask at every portion of our life, what would Jesus do? But more than that, what would Jesus say? How would Jesus think? Some of us are in academia and we have to constantly be asking, what's the worldview of Jesus? What would be the way that Jesus would respond? How would he think? How would he feel? How would he respond? You might remember that the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 brags about his vita, that he was from the right tribe, from the right class, from the right clan. He studied at all the right places. But do you remember what he says at the end? He says, "I consider all of this to be rubbish because I've discovered the one thing that really matters. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to share in his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death, so that I too might obtain the resurrection from the dead." He said, all that other fancy stuff I've done, and I can compare with anybody, all of it doesn't matter if you don't understand the one thing. You got to know Christ. You got to want to be like Christ. C.S. Lewis will say that the goal of the church is to produce little Christs, people who think and act and look and behave like Christ would. And so this morning, I want us to notice from the Gospel of John three aspects of a disciple. I just want to remind us of these quickly. The first one is that a true disciple abides in Jesus' teaching and keeps his commandments. Jesus says in John chapter 8 that if you love me, you will hold to my teaching and really be my disciple. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so the first thing that we cannot get around is the fact that if we want to be a follower of Jesus, we've got to read his word, and we've got to obey it. I know that sounds old-fashioned, but Jesus is the one who says this over and over again. You got to feed on my word, and you got to obey it. And that's what it means to be a disciple, is somebody who is constantly going back to the word of God. You know, for many of us, our cell phone really competes with our ability to be a disciple. Because the first inclination of our morning is to run to our cell phone and find out what happened during the night that we need to. And I think there's a place for that. You know, we've got kids that live in various cities, and so we want to make sure nothing happened overnight. But the temptation is then to just jump in and let it have its way with your day. But we want to be formed by the Word of God. We want to be people who are disciplined enough to say, there's something about the Word of God that cannot be found anywhere else, and I am diminished if I am not in the Word of God every day. During those 80s and 90s, during that time, the number one question that people would ask each other was, how was your quiet time today? That was just the way we responded to each other, because the assumption was, you're in the Word of God every day. You got to be, because there's nothing more important. Jesus is the logo. He is the Word of God. He is the representation of God. He is God speaking to us in the flesh. And so what we begin to realize is that Hollywood is speaking to us, and there are all kinds of logos that Hollywood is using to try and tell us how we should live our lives. But what I wanted to remind us, is Paul heard here today? Oh, Paul's not here. I saw Pam somewhere. But across the border from El Paso in Juarez, Mexico, there's another mountain that has some writing on it. Can you see it up there? Is Jensen Barnett here? There he is, right? I just got back from the Dominican, right? Okay, so you can tell us what this says, right? Okay, you want to stand up and loud and proud tell us what that says? Let's welcome Jensen back from the Dominican, by the way. All right. The Bible is the truth. Read it. And that's what's announced on the mountain across from El Paso, Texas. And it reminds us that Jesus is the logo, that we've got to be in the Word of God, and that there's really no excuse for us. You know, we can make up all kinds of fancy excuses, but we need to be in the Word of God every day. And here's the thing. Find you a disciplined reading plan, but I can just guarantee you that if you just pick up the Bible and start reading it, it'll bless your life, because the power of God is found in it. The second thing I wanted you to notice is that true disciples love one another. Not because we're all easy to love, but because Jesus models for us what it looks like to love. And look what he says here. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you should love one another. This is how everyone will know that you're my disciple, by the way that you love other people. Love is the thing that most defines us and our relationships with other people, is that we lead with love. We're people who are known for love. In John chapter 13, it tells us that Jesus loved his own, and he wanted to show the full extent of his love, so he loved them to the very end. It talks about how he washed the disciples' feet, and then after doing so, he says, "Do you understand what I've done for you? I'm your teacher and your Lord, but I've done this. I did it as an example, so you would do what I have done. Now that you know what you ought to do, you'll be blessed if you do it." And then he says, this is the message, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you're a disciple, when they see the love that you have for each other." I think when I was here last, I talked about love the whole time. And I reminded you guys that love is the secret sauce for the church. If you want to know what gets people coming back to a church, the most important thing is people love me there like nowhere else. I find a love there that I don't see anywhere else, and it keeps drawing me back. We lead with love. And number three, from John 15. "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." Disciples are in the Word of God. Disciples love one another. And disciples are concerned about fruit, about seeing the fruit of the Spirit emerge in their own life and seeing the fruit of other people coming to know Jesus through their life. We want our lives to make a difference. We want to have a maximum impact from our life. And so what we're most concerned about isn't how many toys we're going to leave behind for our children, how many houses we're going to have, other places. We're not worried about any of the things that would be the way the world keeps score. What we want to know is, are lives being changed because of us? Have people been transformed? Have other people come to know Christ because of the life that we live? But that's what it looks like to bear fruit. Jesus says that if you're connected to me, then the Spirit of God will come through me into you, and you'll develop the fruit of the Spirit, which means you'll be more patient than you used to be. You'll be more kind. You'll be more gracious. You'll be more loving. You'll be all those things that the fruit of the Spirit is, but you'll see that other people are being drawn to Christ through your life. That's what disciples do. And so I wanted us to see very simply that we've got to be people who follow Jesus, and the best way to follow Jesus is to be in his Word, to figure out what Jesus would do and then try to do it, to be changed by Jesus, to let the love of Jesus that's impacted us just so overwhelm us that we begin to love out of the overflow of the love that Jesus has given to us, and to join in the mission of Jesus. And so, how do we do this? I'm trying to keep it simple this morning. Jesus' strategy was to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. I was wishing that Jim Samuel was here this morning. Is he here? He's not, is he? Tell him that I talked about him this morning. Because, you know, Jim discipled me when I first came here. I think a lot of you probably know that over the first 3 years I preached here, I met Jim for lunch every Wednesday. And we would spend an hour and a half together, and I would walk him through where I thought the sermon was going, and he would tell me where it should have been going instead of where I thought it was going. And but he invested in me in a way that I don't know what to say other than he changed my life. And so I'm a disciple of Jim Samuel, among others, who have done radical things for my life. But Jesus' strategy was to spend around 65 to 80% of his time with 12 people. You ever thought about that? He didn't use the Billy Graham model. Now, he was great in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, he rocked it, knocked it out of the park. But his real strategy was that he thought smaller than small. He wanted to know, how can I really get into some lives? How can I impart the God life to a few who can impart the God life to a few who can impart the God life to a few? And so Jesus' strategy then becomes Paul's strategy. And Paul says, here's my strategy for winning the lost. The things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others also. You see all the generations there? Paul says, I've invested in some of you. You need to invest in others who will invest in others also. So this whole thing is about multiplication. And it's the only way to win the world for Christ. If that's still a goal that we have, is it still a goal that we have? To win the world for Christ in a lifetime? The only way it could be done is for us to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples. To multiply is what Jesus is calling us to do. So let me close this down by reminding you that true disciples abide in Jesus' teaching and keep his commandments. The word of God is important to disciples. I was thinking back on my history here at Preston Road. And so the last 10 years won't be reflected in these slides. It does not in any way mean great things haven't been happening, but I wanted to remind you of the old things that have happened here. The Preston Road School of Preaching emerged because there was a love for the Word of God at this place. If you look out there, there's a plaque about a plane crash that took out some of the faculty here years ago. But there was a commitment to the Word of God. It turned into the Center for Christian Education. There was a time when I was here when Al Garrett just forced us to take Bible study fellowship for men, and we had over 400 men that would gather in here every Tuesday to read, study God's Word. This one I'm really proud of. Thanks to the work of Jim Barnett and others, the library that was the Preston Road Library that became the Christian Education Library, when the Center for Christian Education closed, Jim and the elders worked really hard to get your library from this church sent to Ghana. And now ministers are being trained every year and are going out all over the world preaching the gospel. And they're using the books that were provided from this church to do that. And you know, one day, if they're not already, they'll be sending missionaries back to the United States. So it's interesting how all that works. True disciples love one another. I don't know of a place that loves better than this church. That's why I'm just so drawn. But do you remember Jim Sal? Not the most lovey-dovey guy in the world, right? But he saw people eating out of the dumpster behind one of his warehouses, decided that wasn't the way things ought to be. And so Central Dallas Ministries was formed. It was formed out of this church, and it was the love of so many people here that birthed that ministry, and that ministry became City Square Ministry that's so vibrant in downtown. New Friends, New Life, I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. Or the clinic. Teresa San Miguel showed up and needed something, and Katrina Bradford and Stephen, what could you say? You can't say enough about them and their love and how it's manifested in that ministry, what they're able to do. But I wanted to remind you about New Friends, New Life for just a minute. Because that little lady on the left, many of you never heard her name. Her name is Toni Scott. And she was 4'10". And no one could love like little 4'10" Toni Scott. And the story behind New Friends, New Life is that she was standing out here where Doug Hall was greeting this morning when a girl who was an exotic dancer walked in, and she loved her. And she loved her into the kingdom. And she loved her into this church family. And it was from there that Amy Dupree and others here launched what became New Friends, New Life. But it all began with love and with loving people into the kingdom of God. True disciples bear fruit. If you think about that in the life of this church, how many people have been won to the Lord in many of these ministries, what Jim's doing at SMU and what so many others are doing there, your work with the Christian Relief Fund, and of course the global missions and what was done here. It's just so good to see David and Michelle and think about them and their impact. And David, I never forget the fact that you were willing to die for the cause of Christ, and that's something I never forget, and I just want you to know it's not lost on me, and I hold you guys in the highest regard. But we've got to be people who follow Jesus, who are changed by Jesus, and then join in the mission of Jesus. And we've got to be people who are committed to the Word of God, to loving people, and to bearing fruit. The parable of the sower tells us there's four kinds of soil. If you were the seed picked up by the birds, you wouldn't be here today. If you were the seed that was scorched by the sun, you wouldn't be here today. The challenge for me, and maybe you as well, is I've got to decide if the thorns and the thistles, the cares of this life and the concerns of this world, are going to so choke out my discipleship that I let the world have its way rather than Christ. But a disciple maker is this fourth kind of soil that produces a crop, a 40, 60, even 100-fold. And that's what I wish for each of us, that we might be that kind of seed. And so this morning, I just want to remind you as we close, the Great Commission is exactly that. It wasn't an opinion or a suggestion. It was saying, hey, you, go make disciples. And so the question that gets so many of us to church and to vacation Bible school and all that kind of stuff is we're very concerned about whether our children will have faith. Super important question, one of the most foundational questions of the church. But the other one that I want you to ask this morning is this, and that is, will our faith have children? Will the life that I live produce fruit that will last till eternity? And if that's going to happen, we've got to be committed to the Word of God, to loving like nobody else loves, and to wanting to produce fruit, and that is the priority of our life. If you're subject to the call of Christ this morning, there'll be an opportunity the elders will tell you about in just a minute. But I wanted us to stand. I'd like to pray, and then I think we'll sing a song together. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for this morning. We want to say thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the model in everything that we do. And as Jessica read for us today, we want to be disciples who pick up a cross, deny ourselves, and follow you. We want to count the cost. We want to know that it's going to cost us something to follow after Jesus, but that it's worth it. And we want to invest our time, our talents, and our treasures in bringing other people into the kingdom of God. That is the purpose that we have taken on as a disciple maker. Lord Jesus, help us. Come to our aid. Stoke a fire and a passion within us that cannot be put out and cannot be resolved by anything other than making Jesus Christ our all in all. It's in his name as our Savior, teacher, Lord, and friend that we pray. Amen.